The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two, a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside Steve Fezzik standing by to join us in studio for a few segments, talk all things sports betting, an array of topics. But first, as is always the case, the second hour on Fridays, we bring in our buddy from Fox Sports. You know him as the Bear, El Oso. It's Chris Felica, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, to bet, or not to, to reveal his bets, I should say, on five different sports. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, and I thought about making a sixth with you, but I didn't have a play on what I'm just going to dub as the Todd Wright prop on FanDuel. Like, will the Stanley Cup champion come from the United States or Canada?
Yes.
So next time you have either Jay Hahn or Andy McNeil or Todd on, you can see if they get their opinions on that FanDuel prop. Stanley Cup champion, US or Canada.
I forgot to tell Todd about this prop. Todd, he's always, every year behind the scenes, he's like, a team from Canada will not win the Stanley Cup, and now there's an actual prop for it. Before we launch into your picks, the both of us have a documentary recommendation for folks. It's not a documentary. It's a, what would you call it? I guess it is a documentary technically.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on Netflix. It's called Sweet Bobby. If you like a good catfish story, and I mean a good one, that is the documentary for you.
Puts Manteo Teo to shame.
It does. It really does. Oh my God. Sweet Bobby is your documentary recommendation. All right. Where do you want to start? Tennis? Let's start with tennis.
Yeah, well, you just start with tennis, because I don't know, they may take these numbers down quickly before the matches get underway today. But it's just a simple Aryna Sabalenka to win the quarter out there. She's minus 120. I know she has what, Jasmine Paolini, I think, in her draw. Alex Randrova, who beat her in the Middle East a couple of weeks ago. But Sabalenka has been very outspoken, as Iga was, about how just not feeling comfortable playing in the Middle East, whether it's the times, whatever it might be, the surface, indoor. And I think getting back out to Indian Wells in at a hard court, in an outdoor hard court setting, I think that'll treat her well. And like I said, I know she's got some people in that draw that maybe look imposing, but I don't think she'll have any trouble in winning that quarter. So it's the only bet I've actually made in Indian Wells in terms of the future.
Yeah, she got the best of it with her draw. No question about that. Kessler is her second round opponent. And then otherwise in that, as you mentioned, Paolini, Leila Fernandez, Kasatkina, Alexandrova, Kudermetova, not the hardest quarter for sure. Let's go to college hoops. You got a trio of plays.
Yeah, Illinois State, which I think now they're getting one. I was a pick when I sent the info to you and Kelly, but Illinois State against Belmont, it's a 4-5 game in the Missouri Valley. Illinois State, a lot of times you see in these conference tournaments, like the higher seed that maybe doesn't play a game earlier, maybe they start a little bit slow. Saw it a couple of times last night, but Illinois State got their legs under them. They started slow yesterday against a bad Southwest Missouri State team and just roared back and won easily. They're a good shooting team. First game was a close game that I think they beat Belmont by three in the regular season. But I like this Illinois State team is very capable of hitting some threes, knocking down some shots, and going up and down the court with Belmont. So I like the Redbirds certainly getting a point now in the Missouri Valley. The Boise State-Colorado State game, it looks like it might have moved a little bit since I sent it to you and Kelly. I sent Boise minus 5.5 against CSU. It looks like it's 6 or 6.5 now. I still like it. There's seeding at play here. Home court, I think, really matters a lot in the Mountain West. These two teams played a really good game in Fort Collins earlier this year. CSU got a big. And then Boise came roaring back, and CSU actually needed a late shot to win. But I know CSU kind of has an outside chance, like tying for the conference title. But that's assuming that New Mexico loses at the Pitt to UNLV, which I don't think is going to happen. But Boise's a really good team at home, blew out Utah State a couple of weeks ago. So I like the Broncos, even minus 6 or 6.5 now, whatever it might be. I laid the 8.
Our guy Tyson Degenhardt still playing college basketball there at Boise State.
Yeah, I was going to say, he'll probably go to the line about 18 times again tonight, which is what he does best. And again, that spread is kind of in that foul zone as well, where they could be up 3 or 4 late, and the fouls are coming, and they wind up winning by 8 or 9. So I have no trouble laying the number there. And I laid the 8.5 with VCU. I think Dayton is one of the more overrated teams in the country. I think we still have this fixation, maybe, or maybe it's just me who has this fixation, like thinking back to like that 2020 Dayton team, like this is the type of team that they are. And then you look up every week and they're struggling with St. Louis. They're in an overtime game with a bad Richmond team. I think VCU comes out tonight and absolutely blows Dayton off the floor.
Follow up, Illinois State 10-1 to win the Missouri Valley. You are not interested in that still, as we're in the quarters.
I don't know. Are they going to be able to beat Bradley and Drake? I mean, that's the thing. Like, it was funny. I think it was Will that brought it up. Like, Will Hill, who would like, I'd love a yes, no on Drake to win the Missouri Valley Conference. And he had those great numbers behind it as well. But I don't know if I can get behind 10-1 just to win that. Just, yeah, you're going to have to beat Belmont, and then you're going to have to beat Drake. And then you're probably going to have to, like, most likely beat Bradley.
And would you, again, we don't know the brackets, obviously, with March Madness, but VCU feels like one of those teams that you might possibly consider a to make Final Four bet on, that kind of thing?
I did. Yeah. I bet them at 60-1 to make Final Four.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Just totally on the blind. I think they're still out there at like 50-1, but I found it 60 and bet it. Yeah. I think they're going to be on that 10 or 11 line. And I think they're going to be a really dangerous team for a 6 and then a 3 or a 2 in that second round.
All right, to baseball. You got 3 there, season long.
Yeah, I did. I bet I'm going to steal this from Will. Aggregate it
there
from
you go.
Our good friend Will Hill and bet the Dodgers. He brought this up on the podcast yesterday that we posted. The Dodgers are minus 165 to be the number 1 seed in the National League. And it's kind of like, if it's not them, who is it going to be? Now, if you don't like going win total over what 103.5 or 104.5 or whatever it might be, this is kind of a different way to play it. Like the NL East, you got the Phillies and the Mets and the Braves are all kind of good teams. I don't think any of them are going to win like 100 games. I guess the Nats are seen to be better. The Marlins are bad. The Central, I don't think you have a threat to be a number one seed. Like the Dodgers won however many games they won last year, and they had a million injuries, and they brought in reinforcements all over the place this year. So I know maybe you don't want to tie up money until October, but like the Dodgers minus 165 to be the number one seed. Like, I don't really know how they're not.
Yeah, I guess the Phillies and Braves would be the biggest contenders for that, but I understand the point for sure. Yeah.
And then I threw a couple of darts on some strikeout leaders in the majors. I bet Cole Reagan's at 22-1. He had 223 last year, which was fifth, which was just 5 behind Tarek Skubal. He actually had a slightly higher K per 9 rate than Skubal, and that was his first complete year in the bigs. I think if he could take a step forward this year, he's got the benefit of being in that AL Central where you got Cleveland and Detroit, and then obviously however many games against the White Sox. I mean, he was one of the bigger prospects in baseball and a big centerpiece of a trade with the Rangers, so if he takes a step forward, he certainly could challenge for the league lead again and maybe even a Cy Young. And then I even threw a bigger dart. I threw an 80-1 shot on Tanner Bibee of Cleveland to lead a league in K's again. He had some trouble at times working deep into games. A lot of times he was pulled in the fifth or so, high pitch count. But again, he was close to 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. He was second to Gunnar Henderson in Rookie of the Year a couple of years ago. So he is highly thought of again as well, and just like Reagan's, plays in a division with the White Sox and an Indians lineup that's probably going to strike at, maybe a Tigers lineup that maybe who the heck knows. So just throw a dart. You don't always, you don't expect to win an 80-1 shot, but a couple of bucks never hurt.
No, I respect the thinking. Tanner Bibee, who finished 17th, but again with 187 strikeouts last year, but again with only 173 and 2/3 innings pitched. To soccer, sir.
I got 3 team total unders for Saturday, tomorrow. I got Luton under 0.5 a goal, minus 110 at Burnley. Burnley finally allowed a goal this week. So J.J. Watt will not be coming back to play with the Bengals. For those of you who are unfamiliar with that story, J.J. Watt is part owner of Burnley, and he said, if we don't allow a goal in league play the rest of the year, I'm going to come back and play for the Bengals. They did allow a goal, but now they face Luton at home. I think they've allowed 4 goals at home all year. Should be a complete mismatch. Then we're going to go down to League One. when play Northampton under a half a goal, a little bit of plus money at Leighton Orient. Leighton Orient is a very another deliberate team, play a lot of low scoring games. Northampton, not a very high scoring team, should be kind of a sleepwalking type match. And then I played Valladolid under a half a goal at Valencia. Valencia is in the midst of a relegation fight. Valladolid is one of the worst teams, or the worst team in La Liga. So I don't expect them to go on the road and do much as either. So we'll look for three clean sheets tomorrow there.
Nice job on Valladolid. Okay, horse racing, sport number five. Florida Oaks, Tampa Derby. Mm-hmm. We got a minute. Give us your thumbnail on these two.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too difficult here. The Florida Oaks, I don't have necessarily a horse that I want to land on, but I am totally against the favorite in this race, the 9-horse Nitrogen. Absolute bet against my suggestion. Horse that really, anytime you're a dead closer, you need everything to go right. I would look for a horse you like the most at the best price and play against Nitrogen. And then in the Tampa Derby, I like Chancellor McPatrick, who is the horse coming back. Chad Brown's big horse is coming back again. I don't know if he'll be fully cranked for this. I think the 7-horse, Patch Adams, who's 2-1 on the morning line, gets the jump, and Brad Cox is called. Patch Adams wins the Tampa Derby.
Patch Adams. Chris, appreciate it. That'll give us a lot to run through when we recap the G-Bank Best Bets later. Very
sure
thorough.
You don't have the Pioneer on at the end of the show, or else it doesn't take up that entire segment.
We got to get the Pioneer back on for college hoops. He loves conference tournaments.
What happened to all of his conference tournament subsets? We're going to have that next week.
He'll only reveal half of them, but sure, we'll get him on to reveal that half. Talking about Dr. Bob, of course. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate
it. You got it, bud.
Steve Fezzik next in the house. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, do yourself a favor. Remember this URL, VSIN.com/champweek. No cost, no commitment. Free until Selection Sunday. Sign up today at VSiN.com/champweek. Enjoy full VSiN Pro access instantly. That includes daily best bets to help you cash more tickets, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video with full access to the VSiN Watch app, full VSiN.com access, including expert analysis, trends, and pro betting systems. Don't miss out. It's all free. This VSiN Pro preview is free. Get the insights you need to bet the tournament smarter, no cost, no commitment. Sign up now, VSiN.com/champweek. Have I mentioned that? And enjoy free access through March 16th. That's VSIN.com/champweek. We got tweets of being the book. I just want to read one here. This is from Brosick, 1870. He goes, didn't Jason do this last year, too, with the baseball? He says, then a week before the season started, he had an article called How to Bet $5,000 on Baseball Futures. Somebody called the Postmaster General. I think he did. Now that you mentioned it, he kind of slow played it last year, too. And then he just dropped the bomb right close to the baseball season. Also, we got Ice Cold Gambler who texted in. Jason looks like he's a character on Fraggle Rock. Fraggle Rock reference, ladies and gentlemen. It's actually a pretty good one. We have an intro for this gentleman. It's time for Fezzik Fridays.
Whether it's at the sportsbook or anywhere else in the casino, he's always helping us find an edge. It's time for Fezzik Fridays.
Oh, you're official now, man. Steve Fezzik, ladies and gentlemen, in studio, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. How you doing?
So for a year, I talked to Gil. So Crack gets his intro, and everybody loves, you know, the Crack Thursdays gets juiced up with that intro. Mm-hmm. No intro for Fez, but
now you got one.
Now I've arrived.
By the way, you've had one for a couple of weeks. I just botched it.
No, I botched it. I talked over.
Well, because you don't have your earpiece in, so you don't hear it also.
Earpiece.
That's a problem.
I wasn't told there was earpieces
I wasn't
available.
Told there were earpieces. All right, we have about 75 things to talk about. Can we start with the one that I would least expect you to talk about, which is basketball, the NBA?
Sure.
You have very strong feelings on, let's start first of all with the Lakers. The Lakers who are on this win streak, they end up beating the Knicks in overtime last night, and you believe what about them?
It's time to dump the Lakers. Okay, we get it. The Lakers, this is working way better than we ever expected it to. Now they've won 8 games in a row. Most since 2019, but like this Knicks game, miraculous cover. Knicks are winning the whole game.
Yep.
goes to overtime, where Dr. Bob gets unlucky in his selections and underdog, because underdogs go to die. And no, Bob wasn't on this game.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the Lakers get it done with a miracle cover, winning by four. So even covering the minus three. So it, like, oftentimes I see, like, I'm waiting to fade a hot team. Where is the buy point? And this is it, baby. So they get
this
that cover.
This is the sell point.
This is the
saying.
Sell point. Yeah. This is the apex. It's like the movie Wall Street. Stocks going to Pluto, baby. And Charlie Sheen says, dump it. Dump it all.
The other NBA thing, and this is the thing that I love traditionally on this show, or historically on this show, that we have loved most this time of year is, all right, what started out in 2018 as Tankapalooza, which was a real betting vehicle, which was awesome. But they changed the lottery rule, so it's not really Tankapalooza anymore so much as it is. Is it time to just sort of say it's NBA brain dead parlay season, moneyline parlay? I know how you feel about parlays, but you do feel that there is a team or two that is just not trying to win.
Yeah, so, and I can't name a player on their team, but my just watching the old Allen Boston, watch the ticker, right? So Brooklyn, oftentimes they're styling early in their games. They get leads, they're doing well. And that team can't score suddenly in the fourth quarter. Like, they are desperately not trying to put the biscuit in the basket. And you see it again and again where, like, well, Brooklyn's got like 9 points 8 minutes into the fourth quarter. And then they blow their leads and they lose the games. So last night, perfect storm, Brooklyn. They're playing everybody. They're up 20 against Golden State. And on our group chat text, I'm like, Golden State's going to win. Let's get on Golden State. And by the third quarter, you know, Golden State had pulled even and the game was never in doubt. It's amazing how well Brooklyn plays, though, when they get down eight again. Then they can score because they know they're not going to come back all the way.
Well,
so,
you're not suggesting it's the players on the court. It's the players they put on the court.
Oh, exactly, yeah. Right. Yeah. Well said. Every player wants to win, and they're playing their very hardest.
Yeah.
Yes.
With maybe the exception of Terry Rozier, but that's a whole other subject.
Saw those clips.
Yeah.
Time to get some. There's billboards in Vegas with all kinds of lawyers, so there's good lawyers out there.
Even trying to hide it anymore? By the way, the Utah Jazz, another team that is openly sort of not trying to win basketball games.
Yeah, but the Jazz seem to excel at it all four quarters, not just the fourth quarter. Yes.
You mentioned in there the group chat. I bring this up from time to time. Me, you, Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, Chris Felica, we're all in a group chat, the five of us. We are, you know, as the wives and girlfriends say, oh, are you talking to your girlfriends again, right? There's maybe, I mean, hundreds of texts that get exchanged on a daily basis. We're live betting stuff. And we don't say, you bring up the point that we don't say this to say, hey, look, we're on a group text, that there's actually huge value in this.
You know, think about it. You can't be in all places at all times. So even like on an NFL Sunday, the first guy to spot like a possible quarterback injury or a key player injury to be able to let and alert everyone and talk about, like, even with player prop betting and the like. So everybody brings something to the table. Sometimes, like, in terms of live wagering, you know, I actually get, like, Todd Wishnev is just excels at live wagering.
Yes.
He's phenomenal. It's what he does best. And there's dumbos on the internet. They're like, oh, Todd lives with his parents in a cork attic. And, like, he's not good at this. And it almost infuriates me. They don't know Todd. They haven't, like, worked with him. And there's, like, in the movie, in A Search for Bobby Fischer, the father is talking about his son, and his teacher refers to, he's a chess master. And he's like, well, I'm worried about this chess thing your son's doing. The dad's like, my Todd is better at live wagering than you will be at any wagering your entire life.
Yeah.
So while you still, if you're just going to refer to this as his live wagering thing, our conversation has terminated.
By the way, I love how passionate you're getting about this, even with the slam of the glasses on the ground, because one of the things I saw was, well, yeah, you know, sometimes I can't get his numbers. Well, yeah, sometimes you're not going to be able to, because you know why? It's live wagering. This is not a pick service giving out their pick and front running you.
He's not so asking for any money.
He's not asking for any money. That's right.
And of course, he's going to get the best number. He's the one that's originating it, making the bet first. He knows how many team fouls Liberty has. He knows how many team fouls Mississippi State has. Middle Tennessee State has. He knows who has the possession arrow. And you listen to all these other shows, and I'll say it. They are no good. They have no idea of any of this information. How could they? This is high level stuff. Todd is playing like advanced chess and everyone else is playing, you know, tic-tac-toe, and they're losing with O.
But that's one example of what you're talking about. And so this is for, you know, if you and your buddies want to get into a group text with each other, it is great that everybody has their own sort of expertise. Todd by far gives the most picks because he's the one doing the live betting. So the rest of us give a fraction of
those
picks.
And I congratulated him on his winners faster than anyone.
Well, okay. This came up on the show the other day. Why do you insist on doing this? I know you think this is funny that you do this, but it is gambling 101 that you do not call a winner before it happens.
I understand, but my left brain, obviously, me declaring a first half over a winner when we only need 5 points the final 3 minutes is not going to impact the result. The gaming odds gods out there are not going to say, oh, Stevie declared this one too early.
You are suggesting that this is not scientific, that gamblers are not in any way relying on science, that calling a winner early manifests in losers from time to time.
So I've been better. Last night, Todd, I've got my fingers crossed. This looks very favorable right now.
Yes.
Let's hope it comes through.
Or you'll just do it before the game even starts at this point. I think that's it really is a great thing because Todd's doing that. And just I'll give our example, right? You're the great aggregator. You know, you're aggregating picks. By the way, nice job on the tennis.
I have originations. And that drives me crazy. People are so stupid. They're like, Fez gets all this information for other people. Like I'm not doing nothing myself. I do both.
Yeah. Well, people, the aggregation part, you and I have talked about this. You probably should, you know, maybe give more credit to people. But I'm just saying, I get it. What do you originate? What are you most famous for originating, would you say?
Probably games of the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
What sport would you say?
NFL games of the year. I can set a line better in the NFL than the bookmakers in Vegas can.
That's on a week-to-week basis during the season?
Before the season starts
before
and
the
during
season
the
starts.
Season. Both. Yes.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah.
Before the season starts, what would you say your CLV rate is on that?
Gosh. Not as good as you think because the vagaries of the team, if I bet a week 15,
I may lay
five and that team might be laying 10 or that team might be getting two.
Somebody gets hurt, right?
Exactly.
Okay. And, you know, so I just think that's a great sort of thing to suggest to folks. Yeah.
Almost 100% though, by the time the season kicks off. So if I lay two in August, my CLV is like 90% plus. I'm always getting the best of it before the season starts because nothing really changes in August.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Right. So you CLV by September, whatever the season starts, but not necessarily by game time.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Steve Fezzik. So much more to talk about, including season win totals. Steve has things to say about that. And anything else that's on your mind, including also beyond season win totals, I should point out, you want to talk about the notion of why a half a point can turn losing bettors into winners. Dumbos into winners. That and more coming up.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You're probably not great at betting every sport. Let rhythm help. Rhythm is going to get you. The best bettors use data to get ahead, so why not put AI to work for you this March? Rhythm is an app that helps you build personalized betting models, analyze trends, and make sharper picks for every game. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or looking for an edge on those 300-plus college teams, Rhythm has you covered with AI-backed projections and insights. Start your free 7-day trial today by downloading the app or visiting rhythm.com, not your traditional rhythm spelling, RITHMM.com. Quick, Steve, name a word in the English language. Six letters, no vowels.
Rhythm.
Correct.
Bill 80 will be proud.
Name a word, nine letters, one vowel.
Don't know.
Strengths.
Shocked I couldn't get that.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. I made it plural just to get to nine. We get tweets. We also get plural with the tweets. Monty Spires. Gil, where can I follow Todd's in-game plays? Great question. We probably should have mentioned this. If I was doing my job, I would have said this last segment. At T. Wishnev on Twitter, WISHNEV. Or as Todd likes to say, just think wish you would never hang out with him. Todd T. Wishnev. He will oftentimes, not often, it's not regular, but every once in a while when he has the time, he will think to himself, oh, I'll add more people to my chat. But if you express your interest in doing so at T. Wishnev, he will add you at some point. Brian M. B. Morianen missed the start of a numbers game. What was Kelly Bidlin's side bet today? You get the White Sox. He gets the Dodgers most wins. If he wins, you do his laundry and a bet list for a month. You win, he uses Fez's comps to get you a bottle of water. I know that was some nonsense yesterday, that bet.
I got a prop for you. How about who is, what would it be more of, Dodger wins versus White Sox losses? That would be a good prop.
I would still say White Sox losses is the heavy favorite.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Because I do think, and I know we should probably have talked about this, that you, because I don't think we did when you've been on, which is you love the baseball season longs and you love the 100 wins thing.
Tell everyone about the wins bet we made. So we discover this bet, the world's greatest bet. We're at the M.
What was it specifically? It was how many teams?
Will any team lose 100 plus games? And so
this was a couple years ago.
The season wins, there were like three teams that were favored to like lose over 100 games. But what happened is the odds makers in that case had looked at what the last 5 years had been, and it had been close to 50-50. And it was just insane. So we have Todd bet on his account. And it like goes from like minus, from memory, like minus 140 to minus 170 to minus 190. It's like Die Hard. Hit it again.
I don't know if we have this graphic available to us, guys, but we ran it like last week. If not, I'll just talk. But I actually went through back over a decade and saw how many teams had 100 plus losses and how many teams had 100 plus wins. And if you go back to 2013, there was only two teams that had over 100 losses, or 100 more.
Teams are in the middle.
And there were no teams that had 100 wins, right? 2014, neither wins or losses at 100. 2015, there was only one team that had 100 wins, Cardinals, none with 100 losses. 2016, it was 1-1. 2017, it was three teams with 100 plus wins, no teams with 100 losses. And then starting in 2018, the chasm of the haves and the have-nots occurred, right?
Because you can spend as much money as you want or as little as you want. Like Devontae Adams might be going to the Dodgers. I'm holding out for it.
In 2018, it was 3-3. 2019, it was 4-4. 2020 was the strike year. There's only 60. Actually, not a strike year, but the pandemic year. There was no, it's only 60 game seasons. 2021, 3-4. Talking about wins and losses, 100 plus. 2022, 4-4. 2023, 3-4. And last year, interestingly, no 100 win teams. There it is on the screen. Thank you, guys. Three with 100 plus losses, including the White Sox with a 121 on the board.
You know, they said Hack Wilson's RBI record is like the most unbreakable in baseball.
Is it Hack Wilson or Hank Greenberg?
I thought it was Hack
Wilson. You might be right.
It could be like 190. But I tell you, this White Sox 121 loss season, that's going to be a tough record to break.
That's going to be tough, even for them. Most RBI in a season, by the way, is Hack Wilson. You are correct. Where did I get Hank Greenberg?
Could be from? Modern era.
Oh, Greenberg was third. It was Hank Wilson, Lou Gehrig, Hank Greenberg, 191, 185, 184. I was just trying to add somebody to the leaflet is what I was trying to do. Anyway, getting back to the point on this, where was the point? Oh, the point was your question about who do I think wins more? Who's the favorite? White Sox, 100 losses, Dodgers, 100 wins. I do think the Dodgers at some point may just say to themselves, there's no incentive in doing this.
Yeah, the Golden State thing, like when they cost themselves the title by chasing 72 wins.
You think that cost them the title?
Didn't help.
They were up 3-1 championship.
So they were right there.
Yeah.
Like our tennis guy that blew it, up 40 love.
Benjamin Bonzi, you're referring to yesterday?
Bonzi. We got bonzied by Bonzi.
By the way, that game 7 against the Cavaliers, people forget this. People remember, the Golden State Warriors were up 3-1 against the Cavs and then famously blew that lead.
Mm-hmm.
And game 7 was the iconic LeBron block of Iguodala's shot. The Warriors, the 73-win Warriors, went scoreless the last 440 of that game 7.
Crazy.
That's what it took.
Yes. Now, the White Sox obviously are supposed to lose 109 games, and the Dodgers are only supposed to win 104.5, so the White Sox probably should be close to a minus 220 type of thing.
Yeah, so it's even lined that way, but I'm saying on top of that. All right, but why season wins? What is it about season wins you love so much?
Because if you're right on your handicap and everything breaks out close to what's expected, you win, all right? Because any one game, any one unlucky bounce of the ball doesn't matter, because it's going to take a lot to defeat your accurate handicap. I also like the bias. I love unders. All right. So what happens? I did just did baseball seasons And this happens in every sport where if you take the average, the cumulative average of the line, the average line being offered to the bettor, it's, you would think, well, they play 162 games, so it'll be 81. No, it's never 81. It's always above 81. Now, it's 81.34, the average. Yes. That sounds trivial. But if you break this out, warning, little math, it's like if you randomly walk up to a sports book and say, I want to bet over, you're laying minus 117. And if you're betting under, you're laying minus 103 is the way it works.
You're now aggregating my yearly baseball manifestos, everything that I used to say about this. Mm. You can overcome the reason that baseball season win totals are great is if, like you said, if your handicap is good, you can overcome negative variance. You can overcome a bad month. Whereas in football, especially college football, you have a bad couple weeks. You might be toast, right, with your season win total.
You could have Louisiana Tech over, and then they lose on a Hail Mary to Jacksonville State,
for
and they
instance.
Miss an 18-yard field goal to win a game, and they win 5 instead of 7, and they don't get to 6
Just
wins.
As a random possibility of an example. What you were saying, because people, when they get into averages, they go, what do you mean 81.3? The way I used to say it was, so if you take 30 baseball clubs, right? So what is that? 15 times 162. So it's
the wins. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is that? 2,440 baseball games or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Possible wins that exist in baseball. And if you added up all the season win totals, depending on the book, sometimes it will be, 10 games over that number. If you go to a different book, sometimes it's 30 or 40 games over the number.
Exactly. This is without shopping. This is
That's
just
right.
a consensus number. So imagine how well you're going to do if you start cherry picking high numbers at rogue numbers. And pretty much I can make the case you have to bet them. Whenever you see a number that's really high, I'll use an example. So the Pirates are up to 77. I don't like that they're up to 77 at a sharp book like Circa. But like big picture, this is almost like Allen Boston 101, who famously would say things like, hey, this team's never been in the top 20. They can't be the 10th best team in the country. The Pirates are always lousy. I don't care how good the rookie pitchers are going to be this year. The Pirates are not a 500 team. So it's 77. You can put me down as an official play. We got to play under 77.
Under 77 on the Buccos.
Yeah.
That was Joe Pita was on that as well the other day.
Smart man, that Joe Pita.
He is a smart man. By the way, do you love these Circa alternates?
Yeah. So anyone who's not following it, accolades, Drew Dinsick famously came out and talked about playing the NFL alternative totals where you can get take a haircut and take one game worse, but get like plus 220 on your bet. And he was absolutely correct. So what Circa's doing is they're giving you 6 extra games in each direction. So if a baseball team is supposed to win 81 and a half games, they'll deal it at 87 and a half. Mm-hmm. And of course, then they'll take it down to 75 and a half. And so it's fascinating because if you just run a binomial distribution, like if you like, say a 500 team, like, the Reds or Tampa Bay, and you flip a coin 162 times, it turns out you want the extra 6 games. But now here's the problem. That assumes the team's playing an equivalent opponent, that they are anchored correctly, they're lined correctly, and they have no injuries, no changes. So it gets very complicated because teams do go through changes. Look at the White Sox and how bad they got last year.
By the way, we didn't even establish your street cred. You did really well on a season wins contest last year.
Yeah,
right?
So I finished second in the Westgate season win contest, and I've actually cashed 3 times in that contest. So I think I had 24-8 in that contest and 25-7. Best record ever in that contest, beat me. I thought I was going to win, so I got second. But I've always historically done very well in that contest.
30 teams. I thought you went 23-7 and somebody beat you with 24-6. Something like that.
Well, there's 32 in the NFL.
Oh, we were talking NFL. Yeah. Oh, I thought you did in baseball.
In baseball, I was talking about the... Yeah, no, I know. For the season win contest... NFL.
Gotcha. Okay. Yes. More with Steve Fezzik, including, again, the thin margin between being a losing bettor and a winning bettor. That's next. Right here on The Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game live from Circuits, Gil Alexander, Steve Fezzik hanging out with us on Fezzik Fridays here on the show. Before we get back to Fez, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Actually, we get texts. Lou Finicaro, Gamble Lou.
Sweet Lou.
Sweet Lou. Sweet Lou Whitaker. Sweet Lou Finicaro says, no sleeveless t-shirt for Fez? What has this world come to? That got banned, didn't it? Okay, you don't have to do that.
It's there.
Okay. The numbers guys via Twitter. Regarding Fez declaring victory before the finish, I'm reminded of the old golf adage, keep your mouth off my ball. Okay. Margin call. Love watching you guys. Market in the dumps. Need a good pick for the weekend. All right. Why don't we do our G-Bank best bets of the day then, since you won't need a good pick, and see what Fezzik can offer us after that as well. It's time for G-Bank, the official bank of VEASAN. All of our best bets, every show, every host, every sport. We recap at the end of every show. And by the way, that free VEASAN.com package, VEASAN.com/picks, every host, every guest, every sport, it's all on there as well. And so some of these guys, by the way, some of our picks, they don't appear on shows during the week. So it's just hundreds of picks available to you across the sports betting landscape. As far as today's show, I've got four tennis plays, one on the ladies' side. Haley Baptiste going up against Danielle freaking Collins, plus 136 on Haley Baptiste. On the men's side, Colton Smith out of the University of Arizona, plus 207 versus Alex Mickelson. Hopefully these courts do not appeal to Mickelson, who typically likes a faster hard court. Lorenzo Musetti, plus 114 against Roman Safiyin. And Zizou Bergs, I got him at a worse number that you can get him at this morning, minus 115 versus Alexei Popperin. And Steve Fezzik, coincidentally, has some of those same tennis picks. How'd that happen?
You know, so Gilly gets upset when I don't bet his tennis. He's like, Stevie, how come you're not playing them?
And then when you do.
And then when I send them out to someone to like, what are you doing?
Why are you sending them out?
Why are you routing my picks around?
Jordan Sherwood on UFC 313. He's on Ignacio Bahamondes, minus 125. Rafael Fiziev, minus 162, pardon me, in the co-main. Fiziev, who got blasted by Gaethje last time, is not quite as big of a favorite this time, but Jordan is still on him here. And then Alex Morano and Carlos Leal Miranda under 2.5 rounds as his third UFC 313 pick this weekend. Stevie's got some. He's got the Pirates under win, Pirates under season win. Pardon me, at 77.
Joe Pita agrees.
And you have a couple college hoops that you like here as well.
Yeah, so let's win a bunch before lunch. Let's go Missouri Valley Conference, 10 a.m. start time here locally Pacific. And we're going to go 8-4-6 Southern Illinois. Drake, love the Drake. Going to go under the 127.5. And it's funny, all day yesterday, I was saying every Missouri Valley Arch Madness game goes under. But Indiana State, that one's going to go over because, like, the happy action, fun time, they love to go fast pace. So we're going to stick with the under theme. I know Will Hill is on this as well. And game 839, South Florida, Memphis over 151.5. You know, I watch a lot of basketball, so this time of year. And the only Memphis games that go under are games where they're shooting 20% from three. Yeah. As long as they shoot 30%, so much pace in Memphis games over the 151.5.
I'm definitely jumping on the Southern Illinois Drake game with you for sure. Under 127.5 this morning. Then Chris Felica, my goodness, a cornucopia of picks from Felica. Arena Sabalenka to win her quarter at Indian Wells, minus 120. She is in action today. Illinois State in college hoops. Pick 'em. Boise State laying 5.5, and then VCU laying -8.5. His three college basketball plays. As far as baseball season longs, he's got Cole Reagans and Tanner Bibee, both of them to lead the major leagues in strikeouts. Reagans at 22-1, Bibee at 80-1, and he's got the Dodgers to be the number one seed in the National League at -165.
That looks like a Fez aggregation play.
Oh, God.
That looks very familiar to me.
Stolen. and then Chris Felica, in terms of soccer, Luton Town under a half, a team total under a half a goal, meaning he believes they will go scoreless at Burnley. Northampton, he believes they will go scoreless at Leyton Orient. And then Valladolid, also under team total, half a goal at Valencia. Chris Felica, three-pack of soccer plays as well. He had a couple horse racing ones as well, but actually he only had a stay away in horse racing. Let me make sure that I get that right, because I want to be thorough. But in the Florida Oaks, he said stay away from the favorite, the number 9 horse Nitrogen. And in the Tampa Derby, he does like the 7 horse Patch Adams. All of that, your G-Bank best bets of the day, courtesy of G-Bank, the official bank of VSIN. And don't forget, with G-Bank, they're upping the ante with up to a $750 bonus for new G-Bank Visa Signature Card customers. First, new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. James Sod on Twitter asking me what matches I got lined up at Indian Wells tonight that I will be there for. Not going to watch Iga. Iga's playing this afternoon. I will have Medvedev and Zhang Xinwen tonight on the schedule. I saw Iga last time I was there, and I was like 10 feet away from her and was fanboying out.
Are you going to attempt to courtside this, to pass post live while you're there? Why not?
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
I mean, hey, sure. Jason Weingarten's got like 3 a.m. radios in his car.
Yeah, of course. But then the girlfriend is like, why are you on your phone? Right. So there's that.
Jason Weingarten's girlfriend?
No, I'm talking about my. Yeah, I don't know about Jason. Jason might do. Okay, before we go, I was teasing this. The thin line between being a losing bettor and a winning bettor.
Yes, and little experiment you can do over the rest of your life. Record how you'll do with an extra 1 point on all your wagers, each and every wager, college basketball and football.
But, oh, that's interesting.
But especially basketball. So here's the thing. Everyone says, I lost because I'm betting the wrong teams, all right? And the truth is, no, you lost because you didn't get a good enough number. So if you just add one extra point to every bet that you make, you will turn a horrible losing, lifetime losing, the Arch Leister type of bettor.
Arch Leister.
Maybe not Arch Leister, but anybody else, into a winning bettor. That is the margin. It's so thin, and every half point is worth like 8 cents, and you're paying 10 cents a vig. So if you get an extra game, an extra point on every bet, it's like you're skewing it towards your favor by 6 cents instead of 10 cents against you. Again, a lot of math. But and that's why my pet peeve, and I'm handing out fines left and right, and I fine myself. I do that all the time.
Yeah, we do that on the group chat, too. A lot of fines are levied.
It doesn't do me any good to say, hey, in pocket, I got -7.5, and the line is -9. All that's relevant. And so I brought it up like in our graphic, like a Memphis, South Florida. Well, I sent it in this morning at a different number, but all that matters is the current. Now, the current number is 151.5 here, so that's what we should grade me at, and we should grade everyone at that. It's like you come on a show and you give out a play, it's got to be what the number that's readily available now, not what it was when you may or may not have bet it, and it's in pocket.
Yeah, it's funny how, you know, sometimes people say things in a certain way and it lands in a certain way, and somehow it's emblazoned in your brain. I don't know if you even know this. One time you said in the chat, not that I didn't know this, but the way you said it like left an impression, which is, if you don't think a point matters, live through these bets. So let's just say we have a first half at 78.5, and somebody else on the chat took a 79.5. Live through it. You know how much that point means when you're living through it.
Last night, overtime, Lakers,
yeah,
you know, open up for a blink at 4.5, you know, against New York, then it comes down to 3.5 and 3 and 2.5. It goes to overtime. Fiddles in the middle, lands 4. Almost everybody loses that took the dog on the Knicks. They had the right side.
Yeah.
But somebody won +4.5 that's listening. It's like, those guys are nothing. I'm like the king. I should be on this show. I got the +4.5.
But you know what people famously say, don't bet teams, bet numbers. This is what you've just outlined is a different way of saying that, right? It's very creative, which is, if you're logging all your bets in the next column, do it as if you had one extra point.
One crummy
see
extra
the difference.
Point.
Or one fewer, one less, right?
Yeah,
or whatever.
You'll get crushed.
You'll get crushed.
The best bettors in the world, and I talk to Will about this all the time, and I do it too. It's really hard. Every sharp is on +23.
Oh, yeah.
The dog on +23, and it drops to 21. And it's like, all the sharp money +21. You look at all the spreadsheet breakdowns. It's like no
it's
no
over.
Sharp.
It's over.
No sharp is playing +21.5. The sharps played +23 and maybe +22.5. You're getting the last bite of the poison apple at that point.
Yeah. I mean, there are times in football season, though, I remember this distinctly about you, where, you know, 7 will be sitting out there. Well, not, let's not use a key number. But let's say it goes from, you know, 5.5 to 4.5, whatever. And then people are still giving out the 4.5 at the end of the week because they still, the +4.5 because they still like it. You even object to that, though.
Yeah, but in football, because the numbers are worth, 5 is such a dead number.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
Okay, good. But, I just want to make sure you
right.
don't go
but,
crazy
but
about
I,
that.
I still think it's a slippery slope.
Yeah. Yes. I think the exercise is such a helpful one, what you just described. And what it does is illustrate, again, you know, the thin line between being great and being terrible.
And let me give one pro tip. No one has ever spoken about this. This is really important. So people say, I bet 1% of bankroll, 2% of bankroll my plays. Let's say you like an underdog +6.5 college basketball, and it's painted 6.5. Everyone has 6.5. You should bet less. Now, let's say it's 6.5 at half the places and 7 at the other half. Or it's 6 at half the places, 6.5 at all the others. Bet more. You know why? Because you're essentially, basically, not to bore you with the math, you're laying minus 106, essentially, because you're getting help from that situation.
5 seconds, season win total, a shout out to, what's the gentleman's name?
Oh, so David Kaufman, that's old it. Guy, can't name a player, wins every year.
David Kaufman, shout out. Stormy's next. Money moves. Enjoy from Visa, the sports.